Well, good morning. How are you? We're going to continue our series this morning on this overall topic of bless. And so Jonathan last week spoke to us about beginning with prayer. And the whole real concept of this bless concept, I suppose, is to help us how to evangelize to our friends, neighbors, and people. And we're just trying to think, how do we do this in an appropriate manner? And so today we're going to look at the letter L. And I've been thinking this through and really struggled a little bit with the concept of listen. And so we've just read a whole stack of verses. And the verses that we've read from Proverbs are more about us controlling our tongue and not speaking to boost ourselves up. And as you go through the Bible, we often hear that we are to hear God. So we just heard about listen, to hear what God says and obey. But there's not an awful lot in the Bible about how we have a conversation with other people in terms of sharing our faith with them. We are told to give a word when we have opportunity, but there's not a lot about listening. So Janine and I had a bit of a conversation the other day, and we've rephrased this a little bit, and we're calling it learn to have a conversation. So I just want to give you some background and look at some of the reasons why we came to that. And so there's a lovely verse. Can you move that on? Sorry, Ben, it's not working for some reason. Oh, sorry. John Maxwell says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so I just wanted to share a situation that happened to me many years ago. When I was at university studying at the UTS, I had to get from North Parramatta into the city, and my mode of transport to do that was to sit in a bus for a little bit and then sit on a train. And so at the time, we were going to North Parramatta Gospel Chapel. And while I was there, we were doing this big course on evangelism. And so the four spiritual laws was the tool that we were studying. And so what we were encouraged to do was to rope learn that little four spiritual laws and then cold turkey somebody, go up and say, this is what I need to tell you about God. Now, if you look at my spiritual gifts there, can you see where evangelism falls on my spiritual gifts? Right at the very bottom. And so I had this book in my pocket for about a week thinking, all right, I've got to talk to this person beside me. I've got to make this happen. I've got to do my homework. And so I finally got the courage up. I pulled the book out of my pocket. I'm about to address the person beside me. And this young lady walks down the stairs of the train. She's a very thin lady with bright red hair. And she says to the, announces to the whole train, I have something I have to tell you. You're all sinners. Repent or you'll go to hell. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then she spent 5 minutes on the train telling everybody in the carriage how bad they were and they're all going to hell. And then she prayed for them, again, reconfirmed the concept. If they didn't repent, they're going to hell. And then she walked up the stairs to the top carriage and repeated the same thing. Now, I very quickly thought, how effective was that? And this little book that I have in my pocket that I'm trying to share with a person beside me, is that going to be very effective for me to pull out and just talk to somebody cold turkey? And so it made me think about how do we interact? What is the process to share the gospel with people? And so it started me thinking, really, I've got to have a relationship with somebody. And like, I'm not saying God can't use some cold turkey, but it's not often that he does. And so I started thinking about conversations. And so here's some questions, and I want you to just discuss this among yourself if you're sitting next to somebody. What makes a good friend? Why is it important to listen? Do you have friends who monopolise the conversation? Do you know people who are obviously not listening to what you're saying? Do you have someone that you try to avoid talking to? How do you feel when this happens? I'm going to give you a couple of seconds, and if you're at home on the video, you can talk amongst yourself there. How do you feel when this happens to you? All right. Sounds like we had some good conversation there. Is it something that we appreciate or something we don't appreciate when somebody monopolizes or talks over us? Typically, we don't appreciate it. So there's two great verses, Proverbs 18, 1 to 2. And the last part of that says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. And so I'm sure we have friends who do that, and maybe we even do that ourselves. And then Proverbs 20, verse 12, ears that hear and eyes that see, doesn't talk about mouth there, the Lord has made them both. And so maybe we need to use our ears and our eyes more than our mouth at times. So I started thinking about Jesus, and what did Jesus do in terms of listening? Sorry, Ben, that's still not working. There we go. So I started thinking, and Jesus often had conversations with people, and he did tend to listen, but he also had a little bit to say to them. And so I've just got three different examples here to think about. And so if you remember, after Jesus had died, two of the disciples were going from Jerusalem off to a place called Emmaus, and they're on the road, and Jesus appears to them, and they don't know who Jesus is, but they start having this conversation. And so Jesus leads with a question to them, what are you discussing? And so they then go into this monologue, I suppose, of haven't you heard what's happened to Jesus? He's been killed and the whole thing's falling apart. And then Jesus speaks up because he has brought an interest to them and explains all the way through the scriptures who he is and how he fulfilled the reasons. And so Jesus had brought about a conversation by the way that he asked the question. We talked about Nicodemus a few weeks ago. And again, here's this guy's come to see Jesus. And there's this very balanced conversation that goes on between Jesus and Nicodemus. But Jesus always seems to be able to hear and listen and understand the situation. And he asks questions that invokes a conversation with Nicodemus. The woman at the well, how does he start that conversation with a lady he doesn't know? He asks her for a drink. And then by listening to her response and responding to that, Jesus turns it into a discussion where she goes back to town and says, come and hear the man who was told everything that I have known. So Jesus was good at having conversations with people. They always left inspired, engaged, or challenged. And Jesus always seemed to use his ears and his eyes to listen and then ask questions that help people move forward in their relationship with him. In each case, it's a process of challenges, questions, or statements that motivates the relationship with those people. So what we thought we would do today is invite Janine to come and have an interview. And so, Janine, I'll just read this top bit first. So how to have a better conversation is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. A conversation requires a balance between listening and talking. A conversation should be engaging, inspiring, or we walk away knowing that we have had a real connection or that we have been understood. So we're going to introduce Janine, just get some ideas from her, but just to set the background with Janine, look, you've quietly been getting on with life and studying over the last 10 years. What have you been studying for that time?
I've done a degree in psychology, and then I've done a postgrad degree in counselling, and just recently in the last year, some training in crisis support.
Very good. So what job are you currently involved in that relates to this study?
So I still work full-time at school with students, so I work there predominantly as a reading therapist with children with lots of with a reading disability or predominantly dyslexia, and so there's a lot of anxiety that's around that. So I work with that with children and with a high school group as well as a mentor. But in my spare time, at nights and on weekends, I work as a crisis supporter with Lifeline.
So listening and having conversations with people is a very big part of your job. Why do you think it's important that we should know how to listen well?
When you listen well to a person, it shows them that you value them. It shows them that you're giving them respect, and it also promotes further conversation when it's what we call active listening rather than just hearing.
So what is the difference between listening and hearing?
Well, hearing is passive. You can't but help hear most times what's going on around you. But, you know, you will know that a lot of times people don't pay attention to that, where listening is an active process. So when you are listening to somebody well, you're focused on them and you're understanding what they're saying, and you're able to respond to what they're saying, which is very different to, you know, ask any parent or teacher when they say, but did you hear what I said? You know, that, yeah, I heard this noise going in my ear, but didn't actually listen to what you were saying.
So Janine and I sat down the other night and had a bit of chat about listening, and so we wanted to give you some very practical ideas on how you can better converse or listen to people. And so we've put together a list of 10 things, and so I'll read them, then I'll get Janine to explain how we can do these. So what about don't multitask?
Yeah, don't multitask. We've all been in those conversations where you are talking to somebody, but you know that they are not listening to you. They're on their phones, they're fiddling, they're doing something else, they're looking over your shoulder, because you know there's obviously somebody much more interesting behind you than you, and they can't wait to get away. And that can actually be really hurtful when you realise, you know, there's no eye contact happening, all those sort of things that make a good listener. So it's called being present in the conversation, just staying with that person and what they're talking to you about.
All right, the second one we talked about was assume that you can learn something from every conversation.
Yes, you normally can learn something from every conversation if you are listening. I think we all come into a conversation quite often with our own agenda, and you know, we can't help that. We're a product of our upbringing, our culture, our beliefs, our values. But when we come into a conversation, if we can put that aside, you will find that you will learn something from the other person, because they will quite often have a very different perspective to what you have.
Okay. Use open-ended questions.
Yeah, open-ended questions can promote conversation rather than shut it down. If you're just rattling off a whole lot of closed questions, which they can only answer yes or no to, it doesn't really leave room for them to share what they might want to be talking to you about.
And have we got an example of a question we could ask to show the difference there?
Yes. Well, if I'm online with somebody, you know, there are times I need to ask them a closed question, because I need to ascertain some information from them fairly quickly. And that would be like, are you safe at the moment? Do you have somebody with you at the moment? You know, yes, no, yes, no. But then once I've established that, I will open it up a lot more and ask them, you know, well, can you tell me a bit more about what's happening for you at the moment, you know, and that sort of thing, which then lets them share.
Cool.
A lot more openly.
Go with the flow. What does that mean?
Yes. Well, when we are in a conversation, we're normally thinking of what we're going to say next. So, you know, like a little idea or a story, like, oh, I've got to get that in. And the minute they draw breath, we're kind of in. And so what that means is let those things go sometimes. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's a conversation that's a two-way, sure. But if you have already decided what you're going to say, you can totally miss the gist of what that person was trying to share with you, because you've kind of decided with their first sentence what you're going to share, and then you might not be listening to the rest of their conversation.
Okay. If you don't know, say you don't know.
Yeah, be genuine. People normally can pick it when you're faking it, so be genuine in a conversation, you know, be caring, show empathy. But if, you know, if they do ask something and you don't know, just say, look, I don't really know, you know, I'll come back to you on that. I think it's important for us to realise that we don't need to fix everybody's problem, and that's certainly something I've had to relearn in my training. Males, sorry guys, are particularly good at this, at thinking that they need to fix a situation when somebody's sharing something with them. And I can really identify that because I've been a single parent for well over 20 years now. And so I would go in and fix a situation, you know, and hopefully now, well, my kids are older now, they don't need me to fix things so much. But I think hopefully with what I've been doing the last couple of years, I've got a lot better at that too, and pulling back. Because just because we think we know the answer or how we think somebody should go about solving a problem doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right way for them.
I remember when I first got married, after about 6 weeks, Annette sat down with me and she said, "When I tell you something, I don't need a solution. Just listen to me." And I thought, oh, okay. And in recent times, she's saying, "I tell you something, you're not giving me a solution." And so we've now got a code that if she actually wants a solution, I can help. If it's just to listen, I just listen. So there you go. The next one is, don't equate your experiences with theirs. It's not all about you.
Yes, true. I think one of the worst things you can say to somebody in a conversation is, "Oh, I know exactly how you feel." You don't know exactly how they feel. Even if you have been through a similar situation, sure, you can share that a bit, but don't assume that what worked for you is going to work for them, because no two journeys are exactly the same. Even in a situation where you can empathise with them, because, you know, maybe you've had a very similar loss to them, and that's a great thing if you can do that. But don't assume that the path that you took is going to be the one that's going to be the right one for that other person.
I remember an experience I had, which is just a slightly different angle on this, about it's not about you. I had to sit on a bus with a senior church leader, and I'd never met the guy before, and we're going from Launceston up to a campsite at Camp Clayton. And I had to sit next to this guy for an hour and 20 minutes in a minibus as we drove. And he introduced himself and I introduced myself. And for the next hour 20, he did not stop talking about himself and making sure that I had a high opinion of him by all the stories he told me of things that he had achieved. And in that hour 20 minutes, I did not get one word in. And I got there and thought, this is not all about you, mate. And so we've got to be careful that we don't do that stuff as well. Try not to repeat yourself.
Yeah, sometimes we think that our opinion is the right one and that person really hasn't got it, so we need to just, you know, do you understand what I mean? Do you really get what I mean? You know, like, they don't need to be told two or three times your opinion, because maybe theirs is actually different to yours and maybe theirs is okay as well.
I'm terrible at that one. Stay out of the weeds. What does that mean?
Well, that's if we're sharing. We don't need to share every minute detail of every date, place and name. But, I guess we also need to understand for some people that's really important. They do want to know that sort of thing, or they do share that sort of thing. So I guess if we're the listener, sometimes we have to be a bit patient with that. If you're not a detail person, that can be really difficult if you're having a conversation with somebody who is, because it's like, come on, just get to the point. But it's something to be aware of if we're sharing.
Listen to understand, not to reply. What does that tell us?
Yeah, that's kind of like back when we were saying at the beginning that when you form an idea in your mind and you're like, well, the minute I get a second here, I'm going to jump in and just give them my story. But what you're often doing is you're kind of one-upping them and, you know, oh, you think that was a problem, you should hear mine. You know, wait till you hear about me. Wait till you hear about what happened to me. And it totally devalues what was important to that person, because they think, oh, well, that wasn't, I won't share anything like that again. Because, you know, when you've always, sometimes you don't need to come back with something all the time. Sometimes you can just say to them, that sounds really hard for you. That must have been really difficult. You don't need to always come back with something that sounds like you're trying to better them.
And finally, of the 10, be brief. What does that tend to imply for us?
I guess it goes back to all the details. If you're totally monopolising a conversation, and by the time that person leaves, you know, you've spoken for 95% of the time and they haven't even had a chance to share anything, it's not going to leave them feeling great. Just like for you, if you've had to listen for an hour and 20 minutes to somebody, you know how that makes you feel as well. I think a good point is, if you know, look at what annoys you in people like that, and then try and not do it yourself.
So we all have people we try to avoid. How can we improve our conversations with these people?
I guess the first thing is to ask, why are you avoiding them? You know, maybe it's a problem with you. Is there a reason? Is it because you're awkward with them, because you don't have anything to talk about, or because they monopolise the conversation? So try and find something that's common, a similar interest or something you can go back to them with, is a good thing to remember in a conversation that you might have had previously. You know, ask somebody, how did you go with that? You know, last time I chatted to you, you were about to sit an exam for something, or, you know, a test for something. Ask them how that went, and that can sometimes give you a commonality to start a conversation with.
So what are the differences between counselling and having a good conversation with a friend?
Yeah, well, having a conversation with a friend should be a two-way conversation. So you should both be able to share stories and anecdotes and, you know, bits of advice and support and things like that. In counselling, it's great. It's all about you. You're number one. It shouldn't be, the counsellor should not be sharing anything much about themselves. They're trained to put that aside. It's not about them, it's all about you. So you would get an hour or whatever it is to share. And in a conversation, you know, what we said before, with friends, everyone brings quite often their own agenda, their own set of beliefs and values and things. And in counselling, that should get put aside. The counsellor shouldn't bring that into that discussion, that interaction. It should be just about listening, actively listening to you, responding where necessary, but they certainly shouldn't be jumping in with all sorts of advice and what you should be doing. And also to remember that in counselling there's a space that is created for you that should be a safe space. There's a confidentiality clause around that, so you know that what you share there isn't going to be all around the neighbourhood next week, where you can't always guarantee that with a friend. They might pass on something that you have said.
And so even those counselling rules are good things for us to keep in mind in terms of keeping things private with people. And so some of the counselling rules are very applicable to us in our conversations.
Yes, certainly
too,
if they've shared something in confidence with you, yes.
So what can we do if the person is talking about the same things they talked to us about last time, like a Groundhog Day approach?
Well, I would say that for some people, it may be a necessary thing. So to try and be a bit understanding there, because if somebody's been through a crisis situation or quite a traumatic event or a grief situation, it's not going to be something that they can just talk about once and then let go. So it may come up, and that may be really necessary for them. You know, everyone processes a situation differently. And so if you're being a support to that person, I think it's really important to let them have that space to repeat it. But if it's just, you know, the same old, you know, as soon as you ask, that you're going to get that great long list of complaints, and so that's kind of why you avoid them, then, you know, I still think that there's a problem there. You know, someone that needs to talk about themselves for an hour and 20 minutes to let you know how important they are, as a counsellor, I'd be exploring that as to why they feel the need to do that. But, you know, there's things that you can do. If you value that friendship and it's all someone that you're trying to build a friendship with, then, you know, feel free to put some boundaries around it in a safe way, and put in a couple of different questions, sort of we were saying before, like open questions that let them share about something else. And, you know, I found at the moment, I mean, everyone wants to talk about COVID, for example, on and the way that that's affecting them. So that's, you know, like, well, how are you managing at the moment and what? And just see if they can just share about something that's not just about themselves all the time, and try and open that up a little bit more for them.
Well, thank you for sharing with us today. And I just hope that as we've tried to talk about some very practical things about how to have a good conversation and things to consider, I know for me there's probably three of those that I've gone, oops, I don't do those things very well, and so things I've got to start working on. Hopefully they've been helpful to you in terms of how you have conversations with people. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
So for our online people, thanks for joining us today. We're going to say bye to you now, and we're going to have a time of communion here with this group in the hall. So thanks for joining us today. So as we... Sorry, Ben, that's just not working again. And one more. As we take some time now to share communion, each week we come together to remember what Jesus has done for us, and we remember this via a set of emblems, the bread and the wine. The word remember is actually an action word, and just like the word listen, every time that God's asked to remember something in the Old Testament, he brings an action from that remembrance. And so just like we come to remember today, we put an action in place in terms of how we honour God by the way we live our lives. And just like the word listen, as we heard from the original video, listen is an action word where we listen so we can respond, obey or do. And that's why right through the Old Testament and New Testament, we are pleaded with God to hear and listen to do what he asks us to do. So one of the reasons that we remember is so that we can live a life worthy of our God calling and our calling to our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take some time now to remember Jesus this morning. It might involve something that he taught. It might be something that he did or something that he said. So let's have an open time where you can share and remember the things that Jesus has done for us that may impact our lives. Thank you.